Football Podcast. We hope you'll enjoy this message by Pastor Joey Bonifacio.
If you're joining us for the first time as a congregation in a church, we are journeying through the book of Genesis. And for those of you who are tracking with us, we were in Genesis 16 the previous 2 weeks, and today we are starting in the book of Genesis chapter 17. Genesis chapter 17 verse 1 says, "When Abraham was 99 years old, the Lord appeared to Abraham and said to him, 'I am God Almighty, walk before me and be blameless.'" At this point in this junction of Genesis, Abraham is 99 years old. The previous chapter, in the last 2 weeks, we saw Abraham in Genesis 16, verse 16, where it says he was 86 years old. In other words, if you were to do a timeline, this would be from 99 minus 86, 13 years ago. 13 years ago, and now 13 years forward, we find Abraham in this state of affairs. I tried to do this as I was looking at the last 13 years of my own life. And I looked at my, opened my computer and tried to push back to the year 2005 to see what my life looked like 13 years ago. As I was moving towards the years, I found this picture of Pastor Kern. And, you know, Pastor Kern is our kids' pastor here, and he looks a lot younger and a lot thinner, okay? And this was not 13 years ago. This picture is about 11 years ago. And then as I scrolled further, I found this picture of Pastor Josh. And I found Ben, who is a little boy now, is actually just about as tall as I am, if not taller than I am. And you just see that the years pass, and when the years pass, life changes, and that's what we're seeing in the life of Abraham here. And then I saw this picture of Nicole. This is Pastor Larry's youngest daughter. And Nicole is now a student. She's in university in the United States, and at one point, she was this little girl. In the year 2005, I saw this picture of my wife and I vacationing in Maui. We were celebrating our anniversary there. It was also the year that I almost lost a son in an accident. In other words, life moves and happens to us. As life happens to us, as life has happened to Abraham, Abraham's life has switched. He's rich now. He's not just rich, he's journeyed through life, he's fought wars, he's been to Egypt, he's been to the world and out of the world, and now he's relaxing. He's got it all covered. He would be the ideal Singaporean dream. He had cash. He had a condo, amen? Okay, he had a car, maybe a chariot. He had the credit cards. In other words, he had credit everywhere. His scepter would buy him things. He had a country club. More importantly, at this junction in his life, he had a child. In other words, he had the dream life. And so God visits him once again and wants to remind him that life is not about cash, condo, credit cards, cars. While that is good and God has nothing against you having those, that's not what life is all about. And he wanted to make sure that Abraham understood that. And so God appears to him in this verse, it says, and says, "I am God Almighty." This is the first time these words are ever pronounced in the entire Bible, and the word El Shaddai is ever mentioned. That God is not just saying, "I'm a covenant-keeping God, I'm the creator God, I'm this God. I am God Almighty. I'm a powerful God," and this name will take root in the lives of Israelites and Jews because they will need it to overcome the challenges of life, and so will you and so will I. And that's how the Bible works. You look at it in the life and history of the people of God, and then how does that apply to me today? And it says, "Walk before me." In other words, be faithful. If you expect the results of God's ways in your life, it's not going to happen just because God's going to bless you. It's because his covenant requires that we be faithful to him. Then it says, it's not just that. "I want you to walk blameless before me." Or that word, tamin, the Hebrew word which simply means to be whole, to have integrity, to not live one way when you are in front of your friends and your buddies and your drinking mates, another life when you're in your work, another life in your private life, another life when you're in church. He says, if you want the fullness of life in me, you're going to have to walk in the fullness of life. and not be a hypocrite. And so many people wonder why the blessings of God are not where they're supposed to be in my life. It's because you're not living life the way you should be. Now, in verse 2, it says that I may make my covenant between me and you and may multiply you greatly. In previous verses, God says, I will establish my covenant with you. And that is pre-established. But now he's saying, I'm going to make it happen. But I can't make it happen if you're not living this life in integrity. Because the blessing and the covenant promises will be an unblessing to you. You're going to have the cash, the condominium, you're going to have everything else, but you won't have me. Because I can't walk with you if you don't understand who I am and the nature of the way I am. And I cannot multiply you greatly. And I cannot expand you. And I cannot entrust to you the greatness of life that I want to have for you because you don't get it. For 13 years, Abraham was no longer seeking God and God was silent. Not because God was silent, but because he had stopped building these altars that he did from the beginning of his journey to God. That's what happens when people get suffocated by wealth and things and the answers of life rather than God himself, who actually wants to give you all those things anyway. But when that becomes the priority of your life, it kills you. Abraham fell on his face, partially in shame, partially in fear, partially in worship, partially in all things. It's a statement that says, God, how do I do this? 3 points in this message is El Shaddai, be faithful, be blameless, and be whole. The God, you are all powerful and almighty, but somewhere in that power and might, you are demanding from me a level of faithfulness. And you're demanding from me a life that is blameless and a life of integrity, where I'm not living one way in front of others and living a totally different life in my private life. God would not have anything to do with that. And he'll keep the covenant, and he'll wait and wait, and you might end up 99 years old like Abraham because you still haven't learned. Amen? And because God is a covenant-keeping God, he won't break his covenant, but he's covenanted enough to wait for you to get there. Are you following? The parallel verse of this story in the New Testament is found in 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 3. Captures the very nature and essence of this concept of God is a covenant-keeping God, an almighty God, a powerful God, and he wants you to walk blameless before him. It says his divine power. Everybody say divine power. God's power is not your regular, everyday, run-of-the-mill power. It's divine. There is nothing like it. When you keep tapping into your own power and your own resources, you are tapping away from God's divine power. And your power is limited in nature. It will run out. It will run dry. It won't have the impetus to drive life to where God wants it to be. Probably the best way to illustrate this would be a situation. If you're Filipino, you probably know this. If you're my age, August 21, 1983, a politician by the name of Benigno Ninoy Aquino, after which our airport is named, was murdered, shot in the head, killed. I was a businessman at the time. I just got married the year before that. I was a young father. And all haywire happens to the nation. The dollar plummets. And by February 22, 1996, the Filipino nation could no longer stand it. And people took to the streets because the defense minister, Juan Ponce Enrile, started a coup. The coup, before they could effect it, was found out. And because of that, they had to run to two army camps, the Camp Aguinaldo and Camp Crame. And the other general came and supported it. And the EDSA revolution that the Philippines now knows came into play. Cardinal Sin went on the radio and basically announced that this thing is about to happen, and civil war between these 3 years was really about to happen. I had friends who had guns in their cars who were ready to go to the mountains. Most of you who are younger Filipinos had no idea that this was part of your history. Tens of thousands of Filipinos took to the streets. By some estimates, close to 1 million people. EDSA, which is a six-lane highway, was packed with people. There were people left, right, and center everywhere. They were carrying banners like this: "Ramos and Rile, you are God sent." That wall over there is where Camp Crame is, and at this point, the government was ready to basically attack. This is how power looks like, man's power. They sent tanks and soldiers, and howitzers were placed upon a hill in a place called White Plains, aimed at Camp Crame and Camp Aguinaldo, and if these guns started to fire, thousands of people would have died. Finally, when the government could no longer stand it, because there are now literally people everywhere, they decided they were going to send gunships to aim at the place where Enrile and Ramos were so that they could end this revolt. Colonel Antonio Sotelo was sent, a Marcos government loyalist, to do this, to execute this. It's a true story, by the way. I'm not pro one or the other. I'm just telling you a story that history books tell us. The words of Mrs. Pat Isleta, the wife of General Isleta, were written in the words which she penned. Camp Crame's relief was short-lived because people had brought food and defended the camp. As it soon received information, it was soon to be raided by the Philippine Air Force gunships. General Ramos became concerned and asked the civilians, press people, and others who did not have direct hand in the operation to go safer ground. To the soldiers around him, he said it might be the last time we would be talking to them, and he greatly appreciated their efforts. Pat writes down, "My husband," by the way, General Isleta, who is now retired at this time, is one of the ushers in the congregation I pastored. That's why I have access to this whole story. "My husband picked up his Bible and quietly read Psalm 91, his favorite whenever he needed God's protection. After saying a brief prayer, he asked General Ramos to read Psalm 91 to all of them. And as they were distributing vests and armor and being told to be ready for anything in the next few minutes, the general said, 'Why not?' Took his own Bible, which was lying on his desk covered with papers, and it was also open to Psalm 91. Do you know what Psalm 91 says? 'He who dwells in the shelter of the Most High will abide or rest in the shadow of El Shaddai.' The Almighty God who has powers greater than tanks and howitzers and airplanes and gunships. Something beyond just your own ability to produce things. Something that God alone can do for people and for you." The general said, "Why not?" And then my husband was about to call everyone's attention. The door opened and Colonel Antonio Sotelo came in with the helicopter pilots in his command, saluting General Ramos, and said, "Sir, your Air Force is here." The guy that was sent to bomb them, to this day, no one can explain why he would surrender and join the rebellion. History has changed our nation. It's practically saved it from, I wonder if thousands of people have died that day. I wonder what the history of the Philippines would be. I wonder how many people would hate each other. The divine power of God is beyond human comprehension. When you keep trusting in your own abilities and the things that you see, rather than pray to God and seek Him with all your heart, you're limiting yourself. You're limiting yourself to that job, you're limiting yourself to that boss, you're limiting yourself to that cash, that position, that role, rather than trusting that God has something greater for me. He has given us everything that is godly for us to do. Everybody say this with me. He has given us everything. So if he has given us everything, then why don't I see it? Is it possible that you're too distracted with the goals of, I just want the condo? God, if I just had that, life would be good. And so finally you have the condo, but your wife left you. Hello? You see, it's not about the rules and the laws of the land. It's like gravity. Gravity calls us to be pulled in, and everything that goes up must come down. As I was scanning the pictures in my computer, I found this picture of me in the Arpel Cliffs. And you fall down there, you're it, you're dead. Because it's gravity, right? And gravity kills you. But you have to wonder why an Airbus 800, or this giant plane, can soar up in the sky with 500 passengers and about 500 square feet of space. Because it's not operating under the law of sin and death, it's operating under a higher law, and not just gravity, but aerodynamics, and that's you and me. The laws of this world will pull you down. The sin in your life will pull you down, but the law of grace in Jesus Christ will lift you up. And it's every time you tap into that power and not the power and abilities of your own capacity and flesh, will you find yourself lifted up despite the weight and the burdens that you find in life. And the scripture says he has given us everything. We need, through our knowledge of whom he has called us, into this own glory and goodness. God has called you to goodness and glory. Stop coming to church and, okay, I'm here, God, for 90 minutes, and you get out of here, and you're disconnected from the power. Come here, get plugged in, get filled up, live here, and keep filling that up. Meditate on that word, pray that word, declare that word, confess that word, pray every situation you find yourself into. How do you know when you've got divine power flowing inside of you? It's the same way that you know that a car has gasoline. The way you know a car has gasoline is because you look at the gauge, and the gauge is full. Amen? How many of you know if the gauge is empty, then there is no power in the car? The car is not going to move. Now, how do you know that you're filled with God's divine power? Unfortunately, for human beings, there is no such thing as a Holy Spirit gauge on your forehead. Amen? There's no way of telling if I'm carrying this power or am I not. So how do I know I've got this power and I don't? It's when you find yourself energized because out of the abundance of your heart, it's so filled with God's truth, it comes out of you, notes or no notes, whether you're around people or not with people, because you're meditating on his word. That's how you know. That wherever you go and whatever you look at, you see the things of God, the thoughts of God, the ways of God. And you're so filled with it. How do you know when a car has gas and its gauge is broken? You put the nozzle, and when it overflows, you know there's gas in there. Same with you. How do you know you're filled with it? Out of the abundance of your heart, your mouth will speak. Your mouth will pray. Your mouth will declare the words of God. When you see a giant coming against you, you say, no, God's greater than you. That's how you know. But you're not going to get that just on a Sunday morning. And that's what we do with church. We're so religious, we plug into church, and then we leave the church, and day by day, the gas is running out. Amen? This is what you look like after church. By the time Saturday comes, you're actually here already. I need more gas. God wants you to tap into that divine power every day. Every single day. In the morning, you worship. In the morning, you think his thoughts. In the morning, you praise him. In the morning, you declare him. And so you never run out of gas. Because you know, he said, through these he has given us his great and very precious promise. We keep wondering, why do I keep going to church? I keep giving my tithes. I keep doing all this small group thingy, but it's not happening because your precious promises of God are not going to happen unless you tap into his divine power, because it's not about you. That's what that was what El Shaddai was telling Abraham. Abraham, don't even try to make this happen, because you can't. You're going to need me. You know how when you have power, you've got a computer, right? All of you computers, phones, you got to keep plugging that. You got to keep getting power. Now, we are a wireless computer, amen? The power comes from the Holy Spirit. when we're attuned with him, when we think his thoughts, when we pray to him, when we seek after him, when we're filled with that spirit and saying, God, 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 I know there are problems, but you are bigger than that. And I refuse to be distracted by the wiles of this world. And please don't misunderstand me. I do believe God wants you to have a condominium. I do believe God wants to bless you. But first things first, because those things can distract you. So that through them you may participate in the divine nature. The divine nature is the result of the divine power. There's a divine nature. There's a different way about you. You're not, it's not about the labels of your clothes. It's not about what school you came from. It's not about your degrees. It's not about your supervisory levels. It's not about any of that. The divine power of God gives me a divine life of walking with him, of loving him, of having a marriage that works, a body that's healthy, finances that keeps me fulfilled and content, despite of who's around me. I don't compare myself with others, I go to him. A few years ago, I was asked to speak at the conference. The conference speaker was Edmund Chan, who was born again. I think when he was born, he was already born again. He's just a good guy. The other speaker was Ravi Zacharias. And the other speaker was me. Now, if you understand this, in the Christian world, these are world-class speakers, and I am kind of one of those weird preachers, amen, that has slides. And I remember after Ravi preached, I was the next preacher. How many of you know if Ravi Zacharias preaches before you, you're going to be very insecure? And I was, until I tapped into the divine power. That God really doesn't matter what people think. Because all I am is a messenger. You and I will always find ourselves in insecure positions. It doesn't matter how rich you are or how poor you are, how smart you are or where you come from. You're going to find places where you're going to be more ahead of others, and you're going to find places where you're going to be more insecure with others. The only way you're going to overcome that is plug into the power of God. Be secure in him. Walk in him. Walk with him. Know him. Don't get away from that. The Holy Spirit is with you. He says he will never leave you and he will never forsake you. He's always going to be with you. It is to your advantage, Jesus says, that I leave so that the Holy Spirit will be with you and will guide you into all the truth. As I close, 2 Peter 1 verse 5, for this very reason, make every effort. Now, I want you to understand this. You don't make every effort to make this happen. If you understand the divine power, if you understand the nature of God, if you understand that you have access to that power, then as a result of that, make every effort. It's not make every effort to have the power. If you understand that, then there is no reason why you shouldn't live that way. If you understand that you are a Ferrari and your tank is full of gas, there is no reason why you would push the Ferrari. Amen? You should start the Ferrari. Zoom. Not. Zoom. Zoom, 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 zoom. Some of you are going to go out here today. Empty again. You just got pumped. By lunchtime. At lunchtime, pause. Jesus, thank you that you said every time I break bread and pick up the cup to remember what you've done for me. Boom, more gas. As you walk out and see things and see the clouds, oh, the book of Nahum says, the clouds are just the dust of my Father's feet. Whoa. They're the dust of my Father's feet. Wherever I go, my Father's there. He's watching cute little Joey. The guy who probably doesn't have it all together, but he loves me. More gas. And then I go to the Word and I meditate on that Word and I pray that Word and I declare that Word over my week, over every meeting of the week. God, you're going to bless each one of those because you're a good God. And despite what I see or how I feel, it's irrelevant because you're El Shaddai. For if you possess these qualities in increasing measure, when these qualities of God, based on that divine power of God, increases in you, which is what it ought to be, that the gas is not just where it should be overflowing. They will keep you from being ineffective. They will keep you from living unproductive lives that you're supposed to have in the knowledge of what Jesus Christ has done for you. You've heard this so many times. Jesus died for you so that you can live this life. So the question is, why is it ineffective and unproductive? Because we didn't tap into this divine power of this God who so loves us and wants to give us this divine nature to live this life, not just in church on a Sunday, but in my marriage, in my children, in my grandchildren, in my health, in my finances, in my career, in my vocation, in my mission in life, in everything that I do, He has the power to make it happen. Thus, I will live a productive and effective life, not because I've worked so hard, but because of His divine power. But knowing that power, I will give it every effort I've got. It's not 100% God or 50% you, 50% God, 90% God, 10% you. No, no, no. It's 100% God and 100% you. Because you know it's worth doing everything because He's already given me everything. Somebody better be shouting amen right now. I mean, but we go to church again and again and again. Amen? Stand on your feet as we close in a word of prayer. Praise you, Jesus. Would you just lift up your hands towards heaven? El Shaddai. Father God, thank you for this morning. Would you just cry out to Him, El Shaddai. El Shaddai, Almighty God. Your divine power is in me to accomplish all that you've called me to do in every aspect of my life. Your divine power has given me divine nature. And thus, God, with this thing in my heart and this truth in my mind, I shall give it every effort to live a godly life for your purpose and glory. Would you just lay hands in your hearts right now? Jesus, Holy Spirit, oh God, seal this truth in my heart today that I may glorify you in all that I do. In Jesus' name we pray. And everyone said, amen and amen.
Thank you for listening to the Every Nation Singapore podcast. We hope you've been blessed by today's message. For more information, visit everynation.org.sg.